All right. So we're going to go to Romans 5. I want to let you know that there is a whole lot we could be covering. I'm going to be going 5 through 8. You are going to need to read the Bible to be able to get as much as you would probably like out of the book of Romans. We're snapshotting it, whetting your appetite, encouraging you. But look for this newness. Look for this idea that because we've been justified, just as if we'd never sinned, we're declared righteous because of Jesus' death and resurrection, then we have this newness. In Romans 5, 1 through 5 is where we're going to be. Thanks, Brohamed. I appreciate you. All right, here we go. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice, or even brag, it could be another way to say that. We rejoice in the hope, or in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us. Wow. Anything stand out to you before I move on in my notes? Anything stand out to you on this newness idea, justified by faith? Anything stand out?
Suffering is a good thing.
Come on now. How weird is that, right, Carol? Did you hear? Suffering's a good thing. Who would say, yeah, that's true? Who would say they've benefited greatly from suffering? I don't think that's the only way God can work things in us. But my favorite movie, The Princess Bride, has a quote in it. Okay, testify. Has a quote in it which says, "You mock my pain, never do it again." He said, "Life is pain, princess. Anyone telling you otherwise is trying to sell you something." We have pain in our lives. That's not all there is, but it's part of what makes l'chaim a full life, joy and pain. And so in this idea, Carol, that there's suffering and it's good is very, very real. What else stands out, church? I do have some answers myself, but I was thinking, perhaps.
Poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit.
So that stands out to you, Robin. What stands out to you that he's poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit?
When I read it, or when it was being read and following along, it was filling me so I could fill others.
Amen. Amen.
We obtained access.
So, I mean, it's like, how did we obtain access? Faith, right? It's a gift. And yet we have to exercise it. If I've been given something, it does me no good to not use it or just to set it up. This lady made me some shoes for our fifth anniversary, 6 years ago now. And she painted them. They're Converse. And there's so many cool things on it. And I just put them up because I didn't want to wreck them. I just like looking at him, and she goes, "Oh, no. Mm-mm. That is not why these were made. That is not why these were given. Wear them. Show them off. Let people see it." It says Jesus Christ on the inside of them. I mean, you can see it. It's got my family tree. It's got my favorite passage, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. It's got all kinds of stuff. It's got huskies, go dogs. I mean, it's just so much on there. And she's like, "You can't keep that to yourself. You got to share it." And it was an immediate conviction of something so much greater than shoes. If we have a new life, we ought to share it. We ought to live it out. Anything else before I move on to a few things that stood out to me that are similar to what you guys have said? Amen. Hope does not put us to shame. That's loaded, and I would love to talk more about that, but there's a lot of times where we hope for something and it doesn't come to be. And we get disappointed, and we actually are embarrassed that we had hope. Sometimes we feel that way in the Lord. I want to see if this will work. These are the things that stood out to me. Peace. Shalom. peace with God because of Jesus. Faith, grace, joyful hope, and good suffering. Look later on, we see all these played out, and so please be reading through those. But I want to jump to an idea of two people. As a matter of fact, the first man, the first human, Adam, and Jesus. This starts in there's a little bit in James, but really what happens right here in Romans 5 is in 12, it starts talking a ton about the difference between Adam and Jesus. And the first Adam, sin entered the world because of disobedience. And they called Jesus the second Adam, that he was new and he started it, and it was through obedience, not disobedience, that life could come. And so I'm going to share just a little bit of this passage with you, but I want you to consider that where our sin started was significant. Where our life starts is even greater, and that's Jesus. Jesus didn't disobey once. This Adam, this new man, this new beginning for humanity made all things right. You and I couldn't. He did. Faith in him makes us new too. Let's go. Let's go to Romans 5, 18 through 21. Therefore, as one trespass or sin led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for who? So everybody is a mess, but everyone can be justified. You didn't have to work to be a mess. It was passed down. You were born with it, and then you practiced it, and you made it your own. But you were born with it. But you also, all of us, can be right with God, declared righteous, in right standing. Because of Jesus, he declared us righteous for all people. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The law, which we could not keep on our own, pointed out what was wrong. And as that was pointed out, we kept seeing over and over again, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this. If I'm guilty of any of it, I'm guilty of all of it, and I can't do it. Jesus did. Jesus does, and he called us to life. This is so good. Look, eternal life through who? Church, this is new identity. This is new life. You can't do this on your own. I just got to put enough good days together. I'll even get a sticker that says no bad days, and that'll be good. I love it. I love the call. I love the idea. The purpose right here is that disobedience led to death for everybody, and obedience by the perfect Lamb of God, perfect man. Nobody was perfect but Jesus. Gave us new life. New life. This new life is not like the old life. I know that that seems like a no duh, but I want to take a minute right now and say, new life is new life. Do you hear that? I mean, I'm saying it out loud, but do you understand that this is a new life? Jesus said that you're born again, born from above. It's a new life. In this new life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, he reminds us that the old is gone. 2 Corinthians reminds us of that too. If anyone is in Christ, he is at what? Anybody? Yes. Behold, the old is gone, the new has come. Check this out. We talk about this a lot in Romans 6, 3 through 8 on baptism, and it's good because it talks about baptism. But I want to give this to you as something fresh this morning, something new that would draw you out and encourage you to have this new life in Christ. Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Church, Who's Paul writing to? Is he writing to people that he hopes will be Christians someday? Is he wanting there to be Christ followers? Is everybody all right over there? It's good. You got your word opened up. That's good. I'm not even really offended that his voice is better than mine. It is what it is. Look, though, he's writing to people to remind them of their identity, their newness, their life in Christ. Good morning, church. This is for us today. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Hallelujah. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. Okay, brings up this idea of slavery. And it's going to really hit up in a minute here. But I want to ask you to consider that there is an idea, a term, and it's doulos in the Greek, but the idea was a bond servant. Now, in some of its use, it was just flat out slave. Somebody who either owed so much that they were enslaved until they could pay it back, and for many of them, they couldn't, so they were slaves the rest of their life. Some people were taken captive and put into slavery, and that's horrific, and the Bible never applauds that or approves of that. And then there are some people who are like, you know what? I'm better off working for somebody. I can't do this on my own. I'm going to give myself to serving for the rest of my life. I'm choosing that. And that was a bondservant, or even a slave was a phrase that would be used for them. But I need you to know, and you'll see it on there, and this thing isn't clicking very well. Can you get that for me? Please, thank you. Everybody serves something or someone. Everybody does. Jesus said, though, it's impossible to serve two masters. In Matthew 6, he talks about that. And I want to be able to unpack this for you. We're going to look at it in Romans 6, 15 through 19, about what that would be like, what it's like to be actually slaves to righteousness, to choose to serve out of our real identity, the one that God has given us in Christ Jesus. Now, again, if you are not a Christ follower, this just seems weird to you. And if you are a Christ follower, you've wondered, why can't I feel new? Maybe you need a fresh perspective, a new one. Would you look at it in this? What then? Are we to sin because we're not under law, but under grace? Look, so I can just kind of do anything, right? Because I don't even have the law. You know what this means? Forget the limit. I get to go for it. He says, by no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of disobedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. You guys, will you just sit on that for a second? Obedient from the heart. Not because somebody's watching you. Not because you're like, if I do enough good, God's going to love me. No. He's already done all that. We just respond to him, and it's obedience from the heart. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification, being made whole. I want to talk to you about this new perspective, this different way of looking at things, this new life that I actually now get to choose where I'm going to put myself, and I don't have to keep going lawless and lawless and lawless. I can actually live a righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ, who earned that for us. And so we go to Romans 6, 20 through 23. Very familiar, very famous, very fresh this morning. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Again, you can't serve two masters. So if you were just serving your flesh, righteousness didn't even have a role in your life. I don't care. There's no law on me. Except that's crazy that in the heart of many, many, many people, they can do lots and lots of things that they know are wrong. And they feel that sting even so much as to identify by that sin. Many times people have said, well, we're living together. I know I'm living in sin. They don't even recognize Jesus and they can identify that that's a thing. I'm like, how does anybody know that? They may be free from righteousness, but they're not free from conviction. But they get to choose, and this is just a remarkable, mind-blowing perspective. What are you, as a Christ follower, going to choose? How are you going to serve? And, indeed, church, who are you going to serve? All right. But what fruit were you getting at that time? You were free. You could do whatever you want. What fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you're now ashamed? Don't go back to the old stuff, for the end of those things is death. But now that you've been set free from sin and become slaves of God, what? God's a master? The best one ever. Now that you become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Remember this one. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Seems pretty cool. We're pretty set. I mean, there's a little bit of struggle, and he's writing to remind you, you're new, you're fresh. Remember all the things in Abraham, and it's counted to you as righteousness, and you believe God, so you get to live out this new life. Go for it, church. It's time. It's yours. But there's the same old problem. You know what that problem is? Anybody? Me. What I want to do. Paul goes on in 7 to talk about, look, I want to do what's right, but evil's right there with me. It keeps messing me up. I'm trying so hard. I've got this desire in my inner man, my inner self. My desire is to honor God and to love him. And yet my body pimps me out. It keeps making me do these things, and I keep choosing these things. And, well, let's go to what he says. Romans 7, 21 through 25. This is after all of the identity and who you are and this newness that we hear about in 6 and 5. I mean, 5 even says God puts his own love on display in this way. That while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Remember your identity. And he's like, yes, but I still struggle so deeply. Look at how he says it. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members, that dwells in my flesh. Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I can't do it on my own. What am I going to do? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind. With my flesh, I serve the law of sin. I need Jesus. He's the only one who could do it. So you guys with me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's you. I have everything I need in you. I have the ability actually to want and to do what's right in you. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Because as it says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God looks at Jesus and he sees us because of Jesus. We're in him. And so for just 5 minutes, would you take time right here, right now, to pray and read Romans 8, some or all? I've got it right here for you, or you can have one of these Bibles, or you have it on your phone, or God bless you, you brought your own Bible in your hand. I see you. There's a ton of you that take notes, a ton of you that highlight, a ton of you that encourage me with saying, hey, that was cool. Did you think about this? Thanks so much. Or, hey, man, study more. I mean, that's so good. I receive that. But right now, I've got a few suggestions for you. What I left out of here was highlight, because I use a highlighter, but a lot of people don't. But look for, circle, or underline where Jesus is giving his people peace, faith, grace, joyful hope, and making good out of all things. And then right here, question for you, two of them as a matter of fact. What truths here that you read on how to live out this freedom and this servitude, what truths here can help you live new? What are you going to do to live this out? What will you do? What's a step that you have today? So I'm going to give you this time. I'm going to go until 10:06. It's only 5 minutes. I don't think I could read that in 5 minutes. Read as much as you can. Underline, circle, highlight, and look. Hey, Jamie, can you go back to those things to look for as well, please? Thank you, sir. Yeah, that one. Thank you. And there's pens up here and pencils, and some of them work. Goodness, this is so good. What? 5 minutes is up? Great news, church. You can take this home. You can do this on your own. You can share it with each other just really quick. I really only have a couple of minutes, but anything that you want to share, anything that stood out to you, anything that encourages you, anything that challenges you, anything that you're going to do about it. Real quick, anybody? Yes, sir.
So in the section that you read in, at the end of chapter 7, that Paul was saying that he struggles in his flesh, what I highlight here is in verse 9 of chapter 8, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So Amen. Though in the flesh we can struggle, we are not in the flesh. We are the new creation.
Amen. That you described. Your real identity is in Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Share that, bro.
For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God.
Amen. Why does that stand out to you, Steve?
It just makes me more purpose-driven than what I want.
Amen. You're being revealed. God's got work for you.
Yeah.
And he's showing you off to creation. Church, a long, long, long time ago, I wanted to make a shirt that said, what are you new? Remember that whole thing? Like, what are you new? It's like a derogatory thing. And I wanted to have either on the back or underneath it. As a matter of fact, I am. I am new. We are new. We're fresh. We are fresh because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. For the law of sin and death. Come on, that was real. He just was bemoaning that that's real for him, right? The law of sin and death, okay, is not in Christ Jesus. Spirit and life are the law in Jesus Christ. This is what we have in Jesus. Keep focusing on him, church. Keep sharing him. Stay in his word. Share his word. Know his word, not so you can be puffed up and I'm smart, check me out. But more than that, like I remember this over and over again, that my identity is in Christ, not in the flesh. Do I have struggles? Yes, that is not my true identity. That is a problem that Jesus paid for. And until he comes back or I go to see him, I have to continually set my mind on him. Continually. Is that hard? Sometimes. Does it feel like death? It should. We have to die to ourselves. It's not like we have to get saved every day. We are saved. We're sanctified. We're being made new. Like, Jesus, will it work this time? It worked the first time. We get to live this out. He's making good out of all things. Romans 8:28, right? For those who are called according to his purpose. What's his purpose? Anybody? It's kind of a loaded question. We could come up with a bunch, but what do you think right before we leave? That we'd be saved. Good. He wants all to be saved. Not all will, but he wants us to be saved. What do you see as God's purpose? Relationship? Good.
To restore us and bring us into a perfect relationship.
Amen. And that brings glory to him. Ultimately, God is about his glory. What else should he be about? If I'm about my glory, or you're about your glory, or you're about somebody else's glory other than God, that's messed up and it's missed and it needs to be repented of. But if we're about glorifying God, then all the good comes with it. We have to be reminded of this over and over again, and it's okay. God didn't save us and then put us on parole. Do you feel that? He saved us and said, you're new. Get about it. Live it out. I've called you to do this. I've given you the strength to do it. Over and over again, we're reminded of that. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him, that we don't just pick and choose. God is really good when things are really good. We're going to suffer. This world has that in it. But Jesus said, take heart, I've overcome this world. I'm going to take all of that and I'm going to work it for my good. Church, we win in Jesus Christ. Not just in Revelation, but today. Today, this is your identity. If you are in Jesus, you are children and heirs, co-heirs with Christ. We are family. And Jesus paid all of it. What hope do we have? The only hope we need, Jesus Christ. Don't just sprinkle Jesus Christ's name on it. Don't just sprinkle Bible verses on it. Believe this and live this. Is it hard? Yeah, but if we're focused on how hard it is, we're missing the point. Set our minds on how good Jesus is, and he brings you the power, the strength, his spirit poured into us. What good news. Thank you, Jesus. God, today and every day, I desperately need you. And it's not like you're playing coy with us. It's not like you're hide-and-go-seeking us. God, there's times when I don't hear you or feel you, but you're there and you always will be. I love that there's no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. I love that the law of life has set us free from the law of death. God, I thank you so much that you are the life giver. And you give so freely. It wasn't free for you. It's free for us. You paid a price. And I'm so grateful. And we could call you Abba, Father. God, I know that in this group, there's people that just are struggling and don't get it. There's people in this group that really are just like not wanting you. I thank you that there's even more that are stoked about you and not only want to believe this, but do, and they keep coming back to you and recognizing that life is in you. God, wherever we're at, may we draw near to you. May we spend time with you, celebrate you, and know that the only one who could condemn us truly is you. And in Jesus, you don't. So may we be in you by faith. This grace that you've given us, this peace, this kindness, this joyful hope, this good suffering. You don't waste a thing. You're awesome, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Hold on, sorry. Father God, my heart's broken over the tragedy in Indonesia. I think of my dear friend Shirley and her mama, whose house was destroyed, whose life was spared, but there's 800 plus in the death toll rising, God, and many, many of those people do not know who you are. That's a nation that does have Christians, that does have your truth, but many, many are stuck in Islam. Many, many are stuck in even atheism. God, I pray that these times where we're going to be hearing about miraculous saving and really, we're going to be hearing about horrendous death, that people would step up and help each other. But especially want to pray, Lord, for your people to share your good news in such a way that people would see it as good news and want it and be saved. We all are going to die of something. But Lord, to die and be separated from you is horrific. And it's not what you wanted. You wanted everyone to be set free. That even as we read at the end of Romans 8, that in Indonesia and all around that area, that people would know that nothing can separate them from your love. May they come to you, Jesus, and may we help that to happen in your perfect name. Amen. All right. God bless you. Love you guys. Bye.